Hello, I'm Dorothy. In the mid-1990s, a group of older women shared their experiences of feminism at 10:40 dinner and discussion evenings. Their stories were recorded on tape. The podcast that you're about to hear is made from one of these recordings. The following questions shaped their stories. What attracted you to feminism? How has feminism impacted on your life? What have been your positive experiences of feminism? Have there been any disappointments? And what are your issues now? This is Kate's story.
I could recognise injustice. That's what I discovered that I could do from a very early age, because there were a lot of injustices in my life, I thought, looking back. I grew up in a working class, quite dysfunctional home and went to a Catholic school. And there were my two brothers and me, and just looking at the way they were treated and the way I was treated, there was always, they were allowed to do things that I wasn't allowed to do, and I had to be the one who stayed home and did the helping and helped my mother do the washing, wash up the dishes, all that sort of thing. And my brothers, they weren't to be seen, and they were allowed to go out and I wasn't allowed to go out. And I was always complaining, I was always saying, it's not fair, it's not fair. But at home I was allowed to play cricket with my brothers, but at convent school I caused quite a furore when I forced my way into the cricket team, and the nuns dragged me off the cricket pitch because girls weren't allowed to play cricket. The boys were very pleased, I might add, when I went screaming off the drag, screaming off. Then at work, boys earned more than I did for the same sort of work. So there were all these inequities and what I saw as injustices, and I couldn't understand why. Why things that were okay for boys weren't okay for me. And no one could give me a satisfactory explanation for this, only that I was a girl. So, like someone else here tonight said, I was always saying I wished I was a boy. I wish I'd been born a boy. I should have been born a boy. Consequently, I was labelled a tomboy, as well as a temperamental child, a rebel, and I was punished in other ways, physical ways as well, by my mother, by the nuns in the convent, who didn't have any compunction about laying into girls in those days with a cane. Later on, in other physical ways, by nursing sisters, matrons, people that I met when I was doing my nursing training. At secondary school, which was also a convent, I discovered that I wanted to be a doctor, but there wasn't any money in my family to send me to university, and there wasn't going to be. So I left school when I was 14 and went to work, because it was the one way that I could see that I could gain some control over my own life. So I went nursing when I was about 18. I've been working, I've had various jobs up until that time. I did finish my nursing training, but it was a very, very arduous 4 years. My mother always said it was like 44 years. I was always in trouble. I was always up against those in authority, and there were many of them in the hospital. But it also, it gave me a lot of positive things. First of all, in those days, there were only women who were nurses. Well, because I left school when I was 14, I didn't have those school friends from secondary school that I know my daughter has. And so these women, young women, formed that sort of, I formed a really strong bond with them, which was great, and it was the only thing that got me through my nursing training. And the other really positive thing about going nursing was that it got me away from home. So I did this for years, here, there and everywhere. You could go anywhere and get a job as a nurse in those days, and that was great. And I lived a pretty wild sort of existence while I was doing it. I drank a lot, I went out a lot with men, I just, you know, lived to the hilt. And I was a bit of a wreck, actually. At 26, I got pregnant. And because my background was a Catholic one, and I really believed all the things that I'd been told, I couldn't have an abortion. I just could not go through with it. So I had the child, and I had it adopted. So all, and there were a lot of negatives, all negatives actually, around that experience. And I think it was those negatives that finally sort of brought me to heal. I was a bit of a rebel up until then, but I think finally that got the better of me. So I got married. I was 28 when I got married, and I had two more children. And I don't think I ever recovered from having the child adopted. I think I was in a depressed state for years. Anyhow, life was hell, being married with two kids. I'd always been quite independent since I was 14, and now I didn't have any money of my own. I was stuck at home with two children. And it was murder. And I finally got to the stage where I didn't want to live. And I did try to kill myself a couple of times, actually. But luckily I didn't, and I recovered myself enough and went on to... Well, I decided I wanted to educate myself, and so I took myself to night school and did my school certificate. That was when my husband would come home early enough for me to get there. And I got that, and I went on to do my leaving certificate in New Zealand. I went back to school as an adult every day with the kids and got my leaving certificate and started university. And I'd been going to university for about 9 months when my marriage fell apart. It had fallen apart many years before, but I finally got up the courage to leave, and I left my children with my husband, which was an incredibly difficult thing to do, but it was a good thing for me to do at the time. And it didn't make it any easier. So what attracted me to feminism, I guess, was it gave me a framework to make sense of all of this experience, a lot of which I found incredibly difficult to deal with and couldn't make any sense, couldn't understand my own oppression. I was colluding in it, but I couldn't understand it. I'd never been able to understand why things were like they were. And here was a framework of understanding for me. And it was good to know that I wasn't the problem. Someone else here tonight said the same thing. That there were plenty of other women like me with similar experiences to me. And what also attracted me was that feminism said things could be different. So there was hope there for me, and there was the hope of creating some justice. The impact it had on my life was enormous. The main one was one of education, I think, for me. Having come from where I came from and leaving school so early, and you know, not having my family, not having the money for me to go to university or anything. It was wonderful when Gough Whitlam got in. It meant I could go to university for nothing. And I used to thank him every week. I used to say, "Thank you, Gough." I love that man. So I did a degree as a, you know, I think I was 36 or something like that when I went to university. I did a degree and I got a job part-time at the university while I was doing it. When I finished it, I started to do an MA in women's studies, and when I did a course in feminist theory in this MA, I got the full picture. It was fantastic for me, as well as, you know, joining me up with the network of women, which is what it did. I really was so grateful to all those early women like Mary Wollstonecraft and all these women I learned about in feminist theory, that they'd been there, and I was reaping the benefits of their being there. And another impact was that I learned that all the theory wasn't in books, that a lot of it was waiting to be constructed, and I could construct some of it if I wanted to. It was then that I decided also to become a lesbian. That was a political decision for me. I could see that if I withdrew my support from men, and if a lot of other women withdrew their support from men, that would make the world a much better place. Men wouldn't be so powerful, and women would be more powerful. And I wanted to be more powerful and have more control. The positive experiences, which I haven't talked about so far, I have mentioned some, of feminism for me has been the close network of women that I have been able to put myself in touch with through feminism. They've been a source of support and friendship to me. I've also found that I've been able to believe in myself as a strong, capable, creative woman. I've had opportunities to speak and be listened to, and I have the knowledge that I could have a hand in changing things, and I have had a hand in changing things. So that's been a very positive experience for me. I've had a lot of disappointments also. The revolution is so slow that I can't stand it. Another disappointment for me is that I always feel I have to struggle for everything. I'm trying to let go of that. I think it's partly my working class legacy also. I have always had to struggle for everything that I've got. But I am trying to let go of that now. Another disappointment is that women are divided within feminism, and I find that incredibly disappointing. Divided within feminism as they are without feminism. That is, heterosexual and lesbian women are divided. There's class distinctions, race distinctions, and age, of course, as we know. So I find that disappointing, and I hope that we can do something about that. It was a disappointment to me that my daughter rebelled against feminism, as against lesbianism, but she'll come round. And it's a disappointment to me that a lot of women accept and expect the benefits that some of us have struggled for, and yet feminist and feminism remain dirty words to them. I find that incredibly disappointing. Like Dorothy, I can't understand why women can't now see. But women have to come to it in their own time. I just hate waiting. And my issues now are to live my life as I want to and make political decisions about the way I do it, whether or not I have sex, who with, to feel okay with those decisions. At the moment, I'm leaving a safe job. I have been gradually weaning myself off it, and I've started a little business of my own. And so my issue is to not just survive doing that, but to enjoy doing something that I want to do and not be answering to someone in authority.